Hello, beautiful strangers. Welcome to another episode of The Stranger Zone. I'm your host, Johnny Giugioli, and...
Oh, whoa, hey, whoa, wait a minute, this is not, I go for a whiz, Giugioli, and you come in and you sabotage me, goddammit, you hijack this. This is not The Stranger Zone with Johnny Giugioli, by God. This is the art of talking bollocks. And you're my guest. Do you see what we did there, folks? You know?
Steven.
Yeah. No, Steven.
The whole world is The Stranger Zone, okay?
All right, okay. Look, okay. We got you. We're only messing, of course. And we thought we'd do a different way of, you know, introducing the art of talking bollocks. Now you know who my guest is. He's the hijacking Johnny Giugioli. He is, yes, as he I says. How are you, sir?
I am. It's hot. It's hot here in Georgia.
You see, here's the thing. When you say it's hot, it must be hot. As I said before we came on, man, we get 22, 23 Celsius, and we're all like, that's us. We're melted. We're all like, that must be like a winter's day for you.
Yeah, pretty much. It's not really the heat, though. It's the humidity over here.
Sure. Yeah.
It's a sauna. Oh.
Yeah. Whereas here, it's weird. It's like, because, you know, we go to Spain and things for sort of holidays, and it's a totally different heat, as you say. But, hey, we're not weather men. We're talking about the weather. What the fuck? We're only talking volumes, and we're talking about the weather.
Exactly.
So, first of all, we are here to talk to you, Johnny. You have a podcast, as you say. It's The Stranger Zone. It was the podcast formerly known as The Stranger Dangerous, but you've changed it to The Stranger Zone.
Right. anchor.fm/StrangerZone.
Oh, I love him plugging. I love him plugging.
No plug in there.
That's what, dude, I respect. So, I mean, first questions, really and truly. No, actually, let's go into... Tell everyone, my listeners, so all six of them, that, you know, you know, what is The Stranger Zone about?
Okay, so basically, I meet strangers on the internet, ask them if they want to do a podcast, and I've done like a few variations of, you know, like my level of knowledge with somebody on the show.
Yeah.
You know, like before you were on the show and before that episode, I, you know, went through some of the sketches and you know, went on to the SixthSense.tv and sort of familiarized myself with it. But most of the time I just have no knowledge of who the person is before the episode starts. So I have no questions prepared. It's completely off the cuff. They start with something about themselves and we just, it's an exercise in improv, basically.
Cool. I mean, that's brave, man. I remember, you know, when, cause you originally, you know, you had spoke to Michelle, Malin, who's our manager, and said, you know, you'd sort of linked them with her and then sort of got me on board, and she told me about the show and I was like, that's interesting, that's scary. Because, I don't mean scary, obviously scary meeting strangers, but
it is, yeah.
To you must feel nervous, man, before coming on to a podcast with someone, because I've been very lucky in the sense of I've been one with guys that I know and I've sort of been working with. This, you know, right. So wow. I mean, how nervous do you get?
Yeah, there are a little bit of nerves. It's toned down a lot now because you know, I tell myself, if I crash and burn on this episode, it doesn't have to come out. So.
Exactly. We did it. I was saying to you before we came on as well that we Sixth Sense did one last week, and it was the worst episode ever. No one was really into it. I cut off 20 times. I had like a rant at one point about there's a political situation, and then I was like, you know what, guys, cut that off. We don't need to do political stuff in this. I just needed to vent. You know, and we just didn't do it. So there's people waiting for last week's one. We haven't done. We've got to come back and turn it into like a Frankenstein kind of. The start was good and the end was good, but the in between was the drizzling shits, man. You know. So, but yeah, you have those issues and all that there. But you know, you've at the same time, it's like it must be so interesting. You're meeting people all over the world, from Argentina. Oh, yeah. To good old Northern Ireland, to all over. I mean, and
yesterday, you know, Australia,
yeah, and that's awesome. I mean, there's times I've always gone, if I had the money, I'd love to travel everywhere because it's lovely meeting new people and different people. And all right, you're not traveling, but you're getting to meet all kinds of different new people.
Yeah, I mean the internet's an incredible thing. It so I'm like, you know, so many people are, there's so much bad and so much negativity in the world.
Sure.
You know, especially on the internet.
Oh my God, it's, yeah.
So this is kind of like, I know eventually if I actually get listeners, then there'll be some hate in there too, but this is sort of my way of trying to take back the internet for something more positive.
Good, man. That's what it's all about, man. I mean, Twitter itself, I mean, Twitter's so negative at times. Have you ever been on, I don't know if you're on Twitter, man. You ever go on Twitter? I use Twitter mainly just to read stuff. I rarely say much on it. I'll retweet stuff. And there's times I nearly go into that abyss, you know, of I'm going to comment because I'm really pissed off what you said. You're a fucking idiot. Or and you start writing it and then you go, no, what are you doing? Just step away, man. Step away. You know, so, yeah, it is so nice that there's something so you're doing something really, really positive. And it is, it's, you know, that's what I've enjoyed about your podcast is, you know, the first one was with Anita. Yeah, it was really, you know, it was great because you kind of knew each other-ish, was it?
Yeah.
You were kind of, because I remember you saying.
I knew I couldn't jump in, like, you know, straight into the deep end without, like, testing the waters first.
Absolutely. So,
even with her, I was that one I was so nervous about, but she was great.
Yeah. And you do need that. I mean, when I did my first couple of episodes, I had brought Michelle along with me almost as my, like, I don't know, I always think of Frasier, and she was like my Rose, you know? I just needed her to be there because I was like, this is fucking scary on my own. But the one I really, out of all, I mean, I've enjoyed all of them, all the people have been really interesting. I love the dating one with Danielle. I really, really enjoyed that episode. She was a lovely girl to, I know what sounds all to listen to. That sounds creepy. It's not supposed to.
Yeah.
But you just listen to her and you know, these days you're just paying a compliment and it turns into just sounding like a lovely girl who, you know, interesting. But it was in that episode you would have thought you guys knew each other for years. It went so well, I thought, you know. You know,
that one was really surprising because I did the, like, made a dating profile just to find guests. And what I found was a lot of robots that wanted me to pay to see cam shows.
Yeah.
And then I ran into her and she was just completely on board and just killed it. She was, oh my God, so good.
Yeah, it was like, it was just like, there was something about that, you know, because it drew, you know, the first one, yes, was a good wee one, but you can't eat, but this one really drew me in because it was like, wow, you would think you knew each other, but you know, these are strangers. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You knew you're strangers, but you kind of clicked. It was really weird.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, you know, occasionally we'll send memes to each other or, you know, something. And it's just, you know, I don't know if it was, trauma's not the right word, but we kind of both dove into it at the same time, you know, just this unknown thing. Cause it was my first unprepared, like I wrote questions down about dating, but
yeah,
it was my first unprepared one. So I was nervous. She probably definitely was.
Yeah, but it didn't come across. It really didn't.
Yeah.
And it was lovely. But at the same time, it made me think, you know, I've been married since I got married quite young. We're still married. So I'm really glad I didn't have to go into the dating game the way I'm hearing things now. It's a hell of a different game, man. It's not used to be where you used to just meet someone. It's now a lot of it's on the internet. And, you know, hearing the amount of weirdos out there with foot fetishes and all sorts of shit, man, it's like... And I mean, what's it like? I mean, were you on the dating site anyway? And is it, if I'm being too personal, to be able to go, or were you going, I'm going to put myself in here and see what the crack is.
That was the idea. Was like I wasn't on there to begin with, so I was just like, I want a guest to talk about dating, and what better place than, you know, meeting them online.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's so many, and that's the one thing I did pick up that I feel, you know, I have a grown up daughter now, you know, I have a daughter who's coming 20 this year. So, yeah, you know, again, start at young one. But, you know, and like, you know, she's going with someone and blah, blah, blah. And that's fair enough. She's going with a guy, but it kind of makes me go, there's a lot of creepy bastards out there. Pardon my French, but there is. I mean, yeah. And I noticed we had it. Now this video we took it down. It's a long story, but we called it phone sex. It was on YouTube and we got like 100,000+ views. It was amazing. It was a juggernaut, but it was mainly because people seen phone sex and went, oh, I'm going to watch this. And it turned out it was a guy who was ringing up a phone sex line, but it turned out it was his mom in the other room. And she was doing this. Okay, the messed up bit was it was my mum that did the sketch with me. So she had to say some dirty shit, and I'm like in another room pretending. So obviously, I'm pretending to go, yeah, it looked, but it looks like we're actually, it was messed up. But,
oh,
have you recovered?
So
that's fair enough, but there was like people coming on going, oh gee, oh wow, didn't see that coming. People were shocked and laughed. Yeah. There was lots of laugh and really nice comments. But then there was these couple of guys who were coming on going, hey, to the girls, you know, hey, you know, hit me up, show me some pics and all this stuff. And I was like, I got outraged and I did step into the abyss and went, dude, listen, there's websites for that, like Tinder and shit.
Yeah.
Why didn't you go on that and get the fuck off our page? So he started giving me abuse. Now, what I did to him, and this is what I was very proud of, he showed his true colors, being abusive and a dick. So any chance he did have, and I don't think he did have any, because honestly, it was embarrassing. Yeah. You know, he quickly, within the next day, I came back the next day to see if he's, because I was sort of calling him mullet, you know, yeah, okay, dude, yeah, smooth mullet and all this. And when I came back 24 hours later, he had removed the abusive comments, you know, and it was like he'd gone and it was like, all my work here is done. But it must, you know, yeah. I mean, you see it and I know we're going off on a tangent, but that's what we do.
Yeah.
You see guys in bars and, you know, it's like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, and here's the thing, though. The internet has normalized so much odd behavior.
Yeah.
That if you wanted that same thing, somebody, you know, trying to hit girls up on a Facebook page or something like that. So in the real world, that would be like somebody, you know, trying to chat up somebody on the bus or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just like across the bus. Hey, what are you doing later?
Yeah. It's like
this is not the place for it, but it's so normal on the internet now.
Yeah, except on the bus you can't go, hey, dick pic.
Yeah.
You get arrested for that shit in the bus. You get arrested for that stuff in the bus. But yeah.
Yeah. Or you could, I guess you could hand out Polaroids. I don't know.
Yeah, that'll be close. He's like, excuse me. You see the guy sitting on the bus and he's shaking it, you know, the Polaroid, not his dick. And he's shaking it, you know. There you go. Have a nice day. My number's on the back, you know.
Oh, God.
That's how we did it back in my day, by God. And I only got arrested 4 times. It's awesome. I didn't do that. But yeah, wow. But yeah, as you say, you would you do that face to face? No, you wouldn't.
No.
And I'm so far in the game.
I wouldn't.
No. Now my daughter's gonna hate me for this, that she got her boyfriend asked her out. Good old fashioned, came up and says, hey, would you like to go out for a drink? So it's, you know, some people still do it the old-fashioned way. I kind of respect that.
You know, and this is a pro tip for, well, I don't know how many of your 6 listeners are married, but that's a pro tip, though, is, you know, if you take that approach, the direct approach, that goes a long way these days.
Yeah.
I mean, so many people are anonymous and want to send messages, you know, text messages or whatever.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. And as you say about the bots as well, I'm an Instagram man. You follow me on Instagram. My pictures of me and my daughter, me and my son, or me and my wife, or some Sixth Sense pictures, they're not really that interesting. But I still get these sort of girls following me, go, and they're bots. You know, and I'm like, you're like, hi, you get a message and you're like, okay, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah.
See you later. Block. Bye. You know, what the fuck? You know, you know, so yeah, it's unbelievable because a lot of those you're talking about dangerous. I mean, they're really dangerous. They're the ones that, you know, on the other hand, you know, there's girls who do that and get guys to send pics and then it's right, well, give me money or I'm going to fucking show you your pics.
Yeah,
you know, it works both ways because guys do it to girls and things like that there. So, you know, as you say, that's where, you know, strain there are. What I find doing comedy is meeting strangers can be really rewarding, but it can also be really scary. And I said that in the first episode on the Art of Talking Bollocks was about a guy who was just totally crazy and came to he was crazy. But yeah,
he was crazy.
Yeah, he was crazy. And you know and that's where we met people. I met majority of people in that group through Gumtree. Do you guys have Gumtree, yeah? It probably is an American one, I don't know.
I don't know. If we do, I haven't used it.
No one uses it now, but back then, you know, I remember putting the ad out And people answer. And Jade, one of the girls in the first episode, was in the comedy group with, went, I would never answer that now. But back then it seemed normal. And I was meeting, like, I remember going, feeling really, you know, and I was married and then going to these girls who were answering, yes, I'm interested in being in the comedy group. And I was like, okay, I'm going to meet you in a hotel. I'm not a serial killer, you know, I'd make a joke, you know.
Yeah.
I am not luring you. I'm genuinely want to see about comedy. And again, the first batch of people were great. They were all reasonably normal. Maybe not. I'm joking, guys. But the second batch was very scary. That, not scary, but it kind of went, I went, you know, the guy sent me a really nasty message because I didn't answer him back. And I was like, get over yourself, dude. And I've done other things where I've met people. You know, Hoplophobia was written on a guy who tried to strangle me with a seatbelt in a car because he thought we were going to kill him. This is fucking mad. This is mental. We were talking about this, Chris, my friend Chris and I, in the second part of the last episode. And it was like, that story is crazy because we met the guy who was a stripper and blah, blah, blah. But he was funny and we thought he was dead on and we thought, right, well, we're doing comedy. Do you want to do this stuff and all this here? And then he'd been taking drugs and stuff this night. We were out and we were taking him home and we drove down a country road to get a shortcut and he thought we were going to kill him. So he started grabbing the seatbelt on me. And luckily, the lights of the next city showed up and he didn't do it. And he wouldn't have because I was planning to put the window down and I was going to throw him out the window like a dart because he was small. But and I used that. So, and his name was, and I'm not going to use his full name, but his name was Michael. And I used it in Mike the Strangler when I did Hoplophobia. So that, you know, that influenced me to write something about it. Or he wasn't a florist or a hitman. But, you know, anyway, yeah, I'm going off. But it shows you that, you know, and it's not even those sort of unhinged people that you meet. You just also meet people who are so far up their own ass and just not nice people.
Yeah.
And then you get that awful feeling in the pit of your stomach, like, oh, shit. It's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm currently in a battle of wits with a catfish. So...
Oh,
this happened yesterday. Somebody started following me on Instagram, didn't message me first. I messaged first. But I was like, you know, this girl is really gorgeous. I don't really have anything like you said, you know, it's promotional stuff, you know, just normal pictures. I don't have even pictures of myself on Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, when I release a new episode or something like that. But, so I was like, there's no reason for her to, unless she just likes my Twitter jokes that I post on Instagram too.
And like, you tell yourself that? Well, maybe it's just, you know, they're in the older guys and I'm kind of flattered. It's not usually 99. It's something usually dodgy or whatever. It's very rare you meet people
that... Yeah. So, well, what happened was I messaged her. We had like a back and forth. She agreed to do the podcast because that's all I ever ask people anymore.
Yeah.
And she wanted to talk about dating. So I was like, okay, you know, this is great.
Yeah.
We can have her experience. It's another dating episode, but it's another perspective. So I set it up and then she asked where I was from, which I thought was weird.
Yeah.
But I was like, all right, you know, I'm from Georgia. And then I picked a random city. I'm like, I'm near this city.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she messaged back, show your driver's license.
Unless she thinks okay, let's play devil's advocate. She might be thinking, maybe you're a catfish, maybe that's true, but hell no, I'm not going to show my driver's license. There's no chance.
Yet. Right. So I told her that. And she's like, okay, you're a scam. I'm going to block you. And, oh, I should also mention the English here is very broken.
Right, it's, okay.
It's not, yeah. I am going to block you. It's, am going to block you.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to do a poor thing. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. It's no, because that's a, don't know. Anyway, right, okay.
So... So then I sent, you know, she's like, I'm going to block you. And so I sent a video. And just in case, you know, she planned on using my face, I had my mask, my COVID mask on.
Yeah.
So, but I sent a video and I was like, you know, I said her profile name and I was like, I'm not a scam. Your turn. And of course she didn't do it. So I was suspicious. She started giving me this story about how she was scammed. Somebody took $3,200 from her. And, yeah, which I don't think that's true. She was just trying to get me. No, I'll give you $3,200.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And like all of this stuff, she said she was from Maine. Her English is broken. You know, I called her out on it. She said it's because she's not well educated. What I ended up doing was I consulted one of my friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was going to do like an image search to see if I could find anything. But I consulted one of my friends, gave them her profile. And so they went on Instagram and it was actually Anita. Anita did it. And she came back and she said, she's a pornographic actress. And I was like, what? And she sent me the screenshot of a Wikipedia for Lexi Bell. And there's not even like, oh, she kind of looks like it. These are pictures of Lexi Bell.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, but yeah, that's I mean, the minute someone mentions money, you're like, see you later. You know,
so what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna try to get her on the show. Still, just say it's not a video, it's audio only, you know, like record via Anchor or something.
Yeah.
And then try to confront her on the show.
That is awesome, man. You gotta do that. That is brilliant.
I hope she agrees. If it's even a girl. I mean, yeah. It might not be.
That is awesome, man. And that's a really good... That's a great thing for your show, because that's showing that it's not... You're saying it because it's called The Stranger Zone. You're also... Yeah, you're showing the good side, but I think it is important to show, look, there is the bad side, because there's people out there are quite vulnerable because they're lonely. And there's people, you see it in a lot of it. I mean, you're talking about catfish, watching the TV show, and you do feel for the people who, you also go, oh my God, you did what? But, you know, you feel, because you know they're vulnerable, you know, they're lonely, and they want to have love, and blah, 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 and that's fair enough, you know. But, yeah, that's awesome, man. That's keep going. That's an episode I'm going to listen to. So, I mean, I listen to all your, but dude, that's me sold. I mean, that's so good, man. So enough. we've said that some strangers are nice, which, and it's love, isn't it? So refreshing to meet, you know, the Danielles and the of this world, and who are lovely and aren't looking to get your money. They're just genuine people who are on dating sites. So. What made you start that though, man? What made you go, I'm going to do a podcast?
Well, I've been kicking around the idea for a long time, and, you know, like trying to debate what topic I could bring to the table, or, you know, and I realized, you know, with my work schedule, I can't really like pour hours into research and you know, do like the reporting kind of thing. So I knew it had to be something unscripted. And, you know, some people, obviously there are a lot of podcasts out there where they're talking to people they don't know, but for a predetermined episode. And I realized this space, like the hole, the gap in the market essentially is that nobody is doing just there's no agenda. I didn't come up with the topic of the episode. Yeah. I just want to give, you know, people a voice or a chance to say what they want to.
Sure. And you get, what do you get out of it yourself is you're meeting, you know, again, I go back to, you are meeting new people and different interesting people. So it makes, you know, adds to the, I was going to say the flavor of life, but that's bullshit, Stephen. What are you on about? I'm talking bollocks quite literally now. But, you know, there's a plug, man. That's just
hey.
A plug. Hey. No, but yeah, you know, there's that side of it. It's you know, it's there's nothing more. I mean, I remember going to London. I go over and watch football. It's because the football. Sorry, that's soccer, football. It's really called football, but he's called soccer. I don't know. I'm kidding.
Yeah. But just, just like we made up inches and feet. And
so I went to London. Yeah. And I remember going to London on my own. I went with my friend a few times. I go over and watch Arsenal football. It's Arsenal I watch. And I went over on my own. And I was on my own, and I ended up talking to so many strangers that day, just chatting on the train. And there was a guy from Brazil. There's a lovely story of Carmi. I spoke to this guy, and he was chatting away, and he was like, what do you think about Brazil? So I was going, well, I was in total football sports mode, and I was going, oh, yeah, the football team's amazing, and blah, 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 and Pelé, and blah. And he was like, oh, no, no. Oh, and he shows, like, you know, the ladies. And I went, oh, yeah, the ladies are great too. You know, I was like, oh, fuck, where is this going? But he was lost. He'd never been to London before. So I kind of showed him. I'd been to London, and I was like, oh, here's how to use the underground. And I showed him around and blah, 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 and stuff like that. So it was really nice and rewarding. And about, fast forward, that would have been in September that year. And fast forward to the next April. No, June. My wife and I went to Paris, and we had no clue where we were going, and we were in Gare du Nord, and we had no idea where we were going, and a guy from Uruguay stopped and went, you guys look lost. Don't know how he knew we spoke English, but we did. I guess we're just the pale Irish complexion. And, you know, he showed us where to go, and I was like, that's fucking amazing, because a few months ago, I helped a guy from Brazil to find the right place in their train station, and it's happened another, it's like a South American guy has come and gone to me, yeah, hey guys, there you go, you know, and it wasn't you know, a scam or anything, like he just genuinely went, yeah, just go down there and this is the one you get on. He pointed the thing, we were like, thank you so much, and went away. That's lovely. That's what I mean about nice. There is nice people out there. There is nice strangers out there.
Yeah.
So,
and the world is the way that human beings are wired is, you know, we're very much social creatures. So there's like another benefit from talking to someone is, you know, you have all these conversations with people that you know every day, but you're not always around them.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes you're in another country. So if you're comfortable talking to strangers, you do get like a, not really a high from it, but there is a mental benefit.
Yeah, and that's exactly, you know, that wee story, of course, was lovely, but even the whole day, I was chatting the guys in the stadium, just chatting away, you know, as if I knew them for, you know, we were talking, obviously, because we all had the same love of a football team, and we were chatting away about that, but but I was even making jokes, you know, I had heard one of them, because they're English, and I heard one of them mocking my Northern Ireland accent, and I was like, and about a year earlier, Northern Ireland beat England in football, which is Like the biggest upset in football. I remember when we scored the goal and I laughed. I didn't cheer. I just burst out laughing. I was like, this is unbelievable. And the Arsenal fans were jumping about with the scarves, spinning their scarves. And I went, hey, guys, that's what our fans did when we beat you, right? You know, and I could have got beat up, but I didn't. We were joking about it, and it was lovely. Oh, and I was like, and at the end of the game, it was like, shook hands, see you later. And another experience I had with that was my friends and I years ago used to be able to just walk to watch Northern Ireland play football. You just turn up to the stadium, buy a ticket, you could pick a seat. Trust me, it wasn't full. Now there's loads of people go to the games, but back then. And we were playing the Ukraine. And we had just got tickets. Oh, these tickets will do rightly. And we end up in the Ukraine end with all the Ukrainian fans. And we were like, oh my God, we're going to die. And at the end of the game, we end up shaking their hands and blah, blah. We got beat, which I think helped. I think if we had won, it might have been a different story. But they were like, shook our hands. And it was lovely. So there's those lovely moments. And you walk away going, that feels great, man. You know, there's things like that do feel good. And even like with yourself, you know, that you and I, this is the second time we've ever had a conversation, you know, and it's been on a podcast.
Yeah, you know, it's always recorded.
It's always our conversations are always on record. Maybe they're always like that anyway. I don't know. You know, in general, but
political.
Am I getting there? No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. Honestly,
government is spying on us.
Hold on, I'm just going to get my tinfoil hat on here. I'll be back in a second. You know, but. But they're not going to get my thoughts. But yeah, anyway, where were we, Johnny? I've lost my train of thought. But yeah, no, you know, so you've started out doing the podcast. You've enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. You mentioned when I was on your podcast, The Stranger Zone, plug for you there, man.
That, you know, Stranger. Oh, Anchor. Hang on, anchor.fm/StrangerZone.
Available
every
on
time the name is mentioned.
Available on Spotify, Apple, Google, and many others.
Oh, we're not on Apple yet.
Oh, why I'm on Apple?
Yeah,
I have no idea.
It's, yeah, it's like I don't know. I haven't gotten an email yet. I think you have to have a certain number of episodes before Apple accepts it.
Really? I didn't know that. But then you get paid and I don't. You can get paid. I tried and it says US only and I was like, I can't even get that. That's what's having the grape, see? We're having the grape. The pod, this is two podcasters bitching about stuff now.
To be fair though, I've only gotten paid like a dollar maybe. So
you're a professional podcaster, sir. That is what you are now.
I am a professional. Yeah. I'm a professional. My salary, my annual salary for podcasting is a dollar.
Can you buy a candy bar for that? Or
depends on where you go. Vending machine, I think.
I earned this. Oh my God. Yeah. Sorry. Yes, we were saying about you. I remember you saying in the last podcast, that's where we were. I've got my train of thought back. Right. When I was on your podcast, we were saying about, you were saying about comedy. That it's something, did you have a bad experience that you were saying that you did something that, or when you were in like high school or?
There was an improv scene that I did in high school and the people that I worked with, like I'm not going to, you know, badmouth anybody, but they were high school kids, you know, this was just a class for them. And I was taking it a little bit more seriously.
Yeah.
You know, wanting to learn. And the scene just within a minute fell apart. And I was on stage just like,
do you know?
Completely froze.
Do you know, I had the same experience, my first ever comedy performance, and it was in America. It was in Minneapolis. And the reason it's not that I got on tour when 1991, Jesus Christ, I am showing my age now. We is because Northern Ireland's a war-torn country, they send kids over to America to live with family. So I went for 6 weeks to Minnesota, stayed with a family. I'm still in contact with that family today. The nicest couple, family ever. Honestly, it was wow. I still to this day, my kids like shut up about Minnesota. It's like that's my adopted state. But I did. They had an open like a picnic, and they were like, and me and my friend thought we were comedians, and so. In Northern Ireland, we had to go to these things every couple of months before we went. They told us all about America and, oh, this is how it's going to be in Minnesota, and this is blah, blah, blah. This is the baseball team, blah, blah. And they were like, we're going to have a picnic and we want people to perform. And me and my friend were in a stupid mood and we were like, yeah, we'll do stand-up comedy. And I remember going to my adopted family that day, going, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go on the stage. I don't want to. And the woman was so insistent, you're getting on that stage now. And like we went up and it was stupid. It was the stupidest joke. Because we couldn't think of any
I
jokes.
probably have worse.
Oh no, it's awesome. But it was awful. But the guy beside me totally messed the joke up. So it turned into funnier than the actual joke. So people were in tears because they could hear me whispering, going, you got it wrong. That's not the punchline. You got it wrong. And everyone's laughing. And I used to like pretend to slap in the back of the head. So they thought it was part of the act. But I was mortified. But when I look back, I'm like, that was the comedy bit. We told crap jokes, but the interaction between us was actually funny. We stumbled upon the funny bit. So yeah, man. It went wrong, but it kind of went right. So did that put you off? Just is that have you done comedy since or?
I've dabbled in stand up a little bit because, that put me off of improv a little
Yeah.
more because I'm terrified of, like, I'm more confident in my improv ability or my comedic mind,
Yeah.
but I'm terrified of working with others, if
It makes perfect
that
sense.
makes
I
sense.
mean, and comedy improv, the golden rule in comedy improv is you always accept what you're asked or told. And the first thing I ever did was comedy improv. When I say first thing I ever did, when I first got back into comedy after my rousing American appearance, when I as an 11-year-old or 12-year-old, wherever it was. It was comedy improv, and there was times you would go up to people, and it was frustrating when you were trying to get them to, and they wouldn't accept it, and then they would stop and go, "No, you've got to accept that. You've got to say yes. You've always got to say yes. You can't, the one of the funniest ones was Chris, who was on my last. We didn't mention this in the last episode. He turned around, and it was like it was a murder thing. So he was trying to get the girl into the bath. And she wouldn't in the scene, she wouldn't go into the bathroom. And he's like, "Oh no, baby, I've got petals and I've lit the candles and I want you to get into the bath," because he was gonna throw the radio in on her, the killer. And she wouldn't get in. And eventually, out of pure frustration, went, "Will you get into the fucking bath?" And the whole and everyone just burst out. We all just burst out loud. It was just so funny. And again, it was an accident by accident actually made that joke funny, but it was his frustrations. It was his genuine, "Get in the fucking bath. You're ruining this for me." So you've done a bit of stand-up then.
A little bit, like open mic, maybe five people in the
Dude, I still I've never done it, so I take my hat off to you.
It
I
still
find it,
terrifies me.
oh my God. Yeah, I'm I've tried writing sets, and I can't do that of reading a set or but what I can do is just go off on a tangent, or it'll come to my head and I can build a story as I'm talking.
Right.
But the scary thing for that would be, what if I got on stage and I couldn't think what to say? What if I had a brain fart? Yeah. You know, because you hear people go on, it's the old thing. I remember watching, what movie was it? Wedding Crashers or something like that, where it was like the guy went up and was going, no, it wasn't. It was another film. But basically it was a wedding thing and the guy went, I'm just going to wing this. And the guy was like, oh God, this is going to go horrible. And it went horrible. And that's always stopped me. I might one day take the plunge, but how was it? I mean, did you get laughs? Did you?
Yeah, I got a few laughs. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, was it just your friends there? Was it strangers?
It was strangers. But no, I got a couple of laughs. I can't remember like the opening and closing jokes. I had just like some absurdist kind of stuff, like talking about dating, like people that I've dated and stuff. So it was like, one of the things, you know, it's all fictional, obviously, but one of the things was, see if I can remember it. It was like, I dated a circus clown one time. You know, it was, you know, she was really attractive under that makeup, but you know, it didn't work out. We broke up. I got my revenge though, because I had sex with her best friend, who was a circus gymnast. And that was awkward because he kept trying to throw me in the air. I'm like, dude, I'm getting sick. So, just stuff like that.
I think that is the biggest, it's every comedian's, I don't think it's even the top guys here. Comedians must think, if I go out here, you know, not like our podcast where we can, you know, we can fix shit, we can edit it. Same as the sense when we do stuff, it's, what if they don't laugh? And we had that last year. We did a show and we did one. It was about, I think it was like an AIDS or a cancer joke, and it went down like a lead balloon. Mm-hmm. And it was Cax and I were left on the stage, mm-hmm. and we kind of sort of like, you know, people kind of politely laughed and went, oh, is that the joke kind of thing? We were like, oh. In rehearsals, man, we thought it was so funny. We played the streets, you know, Bruce Springsteen, Philadelphia, you know, it was when I was telling them the bad news, that music kicked in, and it was like, you know, dude, it was like, well, you know, you haven't got cancer, but I think you've got AIDS. I can't remember what it was, but it was something really bad taste, and it went down. I mean, it's not often that we've been very lucky. It's not often that happens, but it was one that happened, and it's not.
Yeah.
It's the group I was in before that. We did something similar. We did the opening of the show, and it was a surprise party, and fucking no one laughed, man. It was like a full building, and no one laughed. You could just hear that in the background, and it was like. And these were the guys that I met online, and in hindsight, it was the biggest mistake ever because we didn't know each other, and there was a core of us that were okay, we pulled it back in the second half, but the first half, I literally wanted to curl up in the ball and cry in the back. You know, I was in the back, and I had sent those guys out to do stuff first, and I was like, I'll come on later. I just want to make sure everything's running in order, and the videos went wrong. I was putting it. And I tried to do everything, as in production-wise, myself, and wanted to die a death. Man. It's horrible, man. But you hear guys like Bill Burr who go, you know, they've died. They've gone on stage and died. And you're going, if Bill Burr can go on stage and die, all right,
yeah.
I feel okay now. You know, and it's part of the act. It's wherever you go, it can be. You can get. I think I said to you in your podcast, it's. One place we'll get a different reaction to another place with certain jokes. There's certain jokes are going to be hit and miss. They're going to be a hit some places and miss in other places. But is there any ambition to actually go back to comedy? Is the podcasting, and I was just going to ask us, because this is kind of what I'm doing, is the podcasting kind of you getting warmed up to maybe go and do something live?
Maybe, I've entertained the idea of doing live shows. You know, I've gotten support from friends and, you know, a couple of people that I've met along the way, you being one of them. So, but like, you know, I would have to have, you know, somebody's genuine interest to have me perform live.
Yeah.
But I do think this would be a good format, like my show format.
Yeah.
I do think it would be good as a live show, because all I had to do would be like pick people out of the audience and ask them questions.
Yeah. Dude, that, you know, there's something there. I mean, it is about building an audience as well and doing that. But yeah, and it's that'd be a good one, I think. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm thinking about the podcasting is, well, if I can do this, why can't they do this on the stage on my own in stand-up terms?
Right.
I don't know. And maybe that's what I'm doing.
And then
go on. Oh, no, I was just saying.
Well, I was going to say, it's a...
Folks, what we have right there is a delay. But so Johnny's going to speak now, and I'm not going to interrupt him. I apologize, man. Go ahead.
No. So what I was saying, though, is, yeah, there's not a whole lot of difference between doing your show, like, you know, talking bollocks on stage and then like branching that into a set, really, you know?
Yeah, I have a thing where I'll often start, and you've even seen it or heard it in this, that I'll start talking and then my brain will go, where the fuck was I? Start talking about one thing, I go over another thing, and I go, right, where the fuck was I? I'm getting really confused now. And that happens. I mean, last night, perfect example was last night, I was sitting in the garden with my family, and I was telling a story about camping with my friends back in the day, and it was I says, you know, we sometimes, you know, would have got beer, we got a guy get his beer and we would go up and get drunk and be stupid, and then one night we decide, I don't want to get drunk because you feel like crap in the morning, and let's drink coffee all night. And I told him this story now, and I added I am belly, and as it went on I could feel the adrenaline going, and I was like almost in a set. And I told him this stupid, you know, that I was so, because I was so, I actually started making bits up at the end, and I can't, and I was going, I should write this down, you know? And my wife, Sarah, went to me. She was like, yeah, that's a bit. That's like, cause I could use that in stand-up, couldn't I? And she went, yeah, you could. I went, okay, maybe I will. But I don't know, man. It's okay for me to say now, oh, yes, I'm certainly going to do it, because we're in, like, you know, when's the next time there's going to be a live audience again, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I could be all brave now and go, yeah, I'm gonna do it, but you know, let's see when it's actually the opportunities there.
Yeah.
Whether it'll do it or not. But I think there's part of me, there is a great failure. That's the one thing I've always thought I could do. And if I failed on it, I think it would be not devastating, I think that's a bit too but you know, it'd be that's it, it's gone now, you know, sort of thing. So yeah, but there you go. But it's with yourself, that you've actually done stand-up, and I'll take my hat off to you, man. That's fair play to you. I don't care, it's probably harder to do stand-up in front of 5 people than it is 200 people or something like that.
Well, and it wasn't even just that too, it wasn't a comedy open mic. It was people expecting singers, and I go up there and tell jokes.
So, yeah, no, but the Oman, that took, listen, did you feel good after it? Did you have that
Yeah.
adrenaline? Did you feel amazing?
Yeah, I felt great that I didn't, get booed off stage.
Yeah, and I did it, and wow, and they actually laughed, and you go home and you're buzzing. Now, I noticed I did that. I've done that. I've done a comedy show, and then we sometimes get it recorded, and you think the whole show's perfect, and then you come back and you watch bits, and you go, oh shit. But that's just that's me. I'll pick holes in everything I do. So, but yeah. But hey, man, so your next is your episode out now, as in on the today is the 30th of May. It's out today, right now as we speak. Awesome. I'm gonna have to and
Yes, it is.
cool. And it's every so I'm gonna start plugging your stuff here because so
Okay.
you basically every Saturday you're putting your pod out.
Yeah, it's the time might vary because things happen. I run into hangups on like trying to get the I don't edit as far as like cuts because I want one long continuous thing, even hangups and all. But like I had said before, the sound, I definitely don't want like the that intrusive, because I record outside. So, there are trucks, there are there's wind sometimes. I can't really do anything about the trucks, but
No, but listen, man, it's good that I mean, you seem to be going through them quite, quite a few now. You're getting under your belt, so it's. Have you done? Is there ones? Have you done? Have you got like a back catalogue now, or is it? Do you do like one a week, or?
I do. I have a pretty solid back catalog now. Because I try to schedule, like, whenever I first started, I was doing like scheduling that week. And then, hopefully I get that episode and I can put it out there. So, but now it's, I schedule every day, it seems like, or I try to. And then that way, if a few people flake or if it doesn't work out, like scheduling wise, I can still put more in the back catalog and not have to worry about it.
That's cool, man. No, that's
So.
great. I mean, my way is basically, I've got a list of names and I've got like episodes and question marks, and then I'll ask them, do you want to come on? And they're like, yep, cool. Again, nowhere near the ballsiness of yours where you're speaking to people all over the world. I'm just speaking to guys I've done comedy or have acted with, or I know a few people have done a few other things that I'm going to maybe speak to them about. In fact, my mom is a hi, mom. Is my mom used to do like all that and all that ghost hunting things and stuff like that there. So we originally
Oh.
were gonna do a record go out with them while they were doing their investigation as an episode, but we never got round to it. But it's still, let's see how things go and all that there. Yeah. So, yeah. So, but it's great to know that. I say I'm waffling on about my podcast, but we should be, speaking about yours. So I apologize, but you did come in at the start, Johnny, and do your own. Again, that was my idea, folks. Just to let you know, this guy would not do that shit. It was me being, let's just do something different.
Yeah, I'm on board if somebody else suggests it.
But what? It's been freaking great to have you on here. And it's actually really good just to get to know you. And listen, we will have you on again. And I say we as in me. I'm saying it in the royal we.
I
When
do
we'll have you on our show again. But listen,
that too.
it's been fantastic to have you on. Guys,
It's been great to be on.
listen to Johnny's podcast, The Stranger Zone. For you, Johnny. There you go.
Anchor.fm/stranger zone.
You know, there you go. He is the plugging machine that is Johnny DiGiore. But yeah, man, listen, it's been at first honest, genuine pleasure. I wouldn't have had you on the show if I didn't click with you or chat. Yeah, I would not, you know, there's no point. I've loved your podcast so far. Keep up the good work, man. I'm sure you have. There's loads coming up. And I do encourage people to listen to Johnny's podcast. All I can say is, man, thank you for talking bollocks with me. Having an adder chat, or whatever you call it. And check out my next episodes every Sunday. That didn't come out right. That came out really stupid. I'm not going to edit that out. Fuck it. I'm going to say that again. So every Saturday, Johnny's podcast, hopefully with all being well, comes out, and mine comes out every Sunday. You see what I did there? I don't want to put it in the same day as you. Hey, we're looking after each other here in the podcast community. So check Johnny's out on a Saturday, check mine out on a Sunday, and thank you for listening to the podcast.
Thank you, guys.